Hello, I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And before we get started, I'll remind you that WEAA is in need of volunteers for our upcoming spring membership drive, April 9th through the 17th. If you have a few hours to volunteer for the Mark Steiner Show, Anthony McCarthy Show, anybody's show, pick a show,
many
shows, Gospel Grace, any show, whatever is your taste, do it. And call our membership department at 443-885-2075. Put your energies into volunteering for your public radio station, WEAA, doing the fun drive anywhere from the 9th through the 17th. Good food, good people, and you're working for a worthy cause in our community. 443-885-2075 to be a volunteer. Before we jump into the heart of the show, so much has happened today, and we knew we were going to do a program talking about John Kennedy Gutierrez, who was just an amazing human being, somebody who I knew for a long time, knew his sister who passed away even longer. Christina, and it was not just an artist, but a man of this community. But before we leap into that with these wonderful people in our studio, three things I want you to remember today, and we'll talk about them more during tomorrow's program. This is also the day that memorializes the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., 43 years ago today. Another man was assassinated today, somebody you may never heard of, and his name was Julian Meir Chamas. His mother was an Israeli Jew whose family survived the Holocaust and the concentration camps. His father was a Palestinian Christian who was a leader of the communist movement for a while in Israel and of many struggles in Israel and in Palestine. He was a great actor. People knew him from his films across Europe and across Israel. He was a paratrooper in the Israeli army, but went to Jenin refugee camp and began the Freedom Theater, which was the most amazing theater, still is. And he founded it with the man who was the creator of the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades, because they wanted to come together in peace to work with Palestinian children and Palestinian communities. He was gunned down in front of his theater early this morning in Israel, Israeli time this morning. 5 shots took him out as he was sitting in the car with his 1-year-old child. His wife is expecting. Woman was there taking care of his baby. She was shot. His baby was not. But he left. And he was one of the great warriors for peace on this globe. I was just totally shocked. He and I did emails back and forth just 2 weeks ago talking about a trip we're trying to plan to the Holy Land to talk to Voices of Peace, but also talking about his coming on this program in the next week or two. And I could, you know, you sit there and go, why didn't I talk to him last week? Mm. But I didn't. But he's a man who should be remembered. Julian Meir Chamas, who was murdered today, only 52 years old and a man of real peace. We also lost Manning Marable. A shock, just with this incredible legacy of Malcolm X. And he passed away. He had sarcoidosis. Thought he was going to be fine. Got 2 new lungs, and all of a sudden he was hit again. His magnum opus out. It'll be known as the greatest work about Malcolm X ever to be written. He was going to be on the show at the end of this month and appearing at the Enoch Pratt Free Library on May the 4th. Well, we are going to continue that. We are inviting people to join us that evening, Sherilyn Eiffel and others, and I will be there that evening to remember Manning Marable and to talk about the life and legacy that he's written about with Malcolm X. So I just want to remember those folks today as we begin this, because too many of the lights leave us. Mm. So we're going to talk about another light this hour, and yes, he was a great light. His name was John Kennedy Gutierrez, and he had an incredible studio over not far from my studios in Hamden. But I'll let our guest do the talking about him. The man who's been bothering me to do this show for a long time is an old friend, Paolo Gregory Harris, who's director of the Ngoma Foundation, is with us in studio. Along with him, Roya Golpira, who is John's life and business partner and now the owner of the Gutierrez Studios. Charlie Cronheim is with us. He's managed the John K. Gutierrez Memorial Walk and is helping to manage the Memorial Fund, which is funding the Ngoma Gutierrez Craftsman Apprenticeship, which is also part of his life that meant a lot to him. And Caprice Jackson Garrett is with us, advisor to the Memorial Fund. And Anthony and I welcome you both to our studios. All 4 to our studios, I should say. Welcome.
It's beautiful to be here.
Thanks, Mark.
And
you're wonderful.
Thank you. So to think about John, and where do we begin this? He was passed away on February 25th last year. And he was just a giant figure in many ways, as a human being, big man, big heart, great mind, great craftsman, brilliant artist. Talk about the many people have never even heard his name, right? So I'd just like each one of you to talk a bit about this man, and we'll talk about the legacy you're building around him. Who wants to begin?
Well, that's probably not true, Roya. Mark. Everybody's heard of his name.
I'm sorry, Roya. I take that back.
Yeah.
That's right. What were we thinking?
Right, exactly.
And those who haven't will after tonight.
That's right.
Well, that was just the nature of his spirit was he was very much part of the community. So he was very well known, loved to throw parties, and but really to make a difference. You know, in the world, he was very interested in the work of the artist and making sure that the work of the artist was out in the world. And his work and the work of Gutierrez Studios is all over our city.
It is all over our city.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And you recognize it almost immediately. And then sometimes I get confused and I try to impress my friends. And, oh, I know that artist. I know that. And it's not. It's just a knockoff or someone trying to create something very beautiful. But it's not a Gutierrez.
It was funny. I just think about him. I realized as you were speaking about him, Roya, when I lost my battle at that other place, which will go nameless.
Absolutely.
One of the first people I saw was John by accident. Because I pulled into the parking lot, and there he was coming out of the studio with a coffee in his hand and said, I could put this down, we could go inside and have a beer instead.
He made friends that way.
He's a good man. Who would like to come next? Paolo?
I'll touch in. John, there's been a beautiful memorial to John that that was dedicated a couple of weeks ago on the 19th, which is a fire pit, fireplace. And that fireplace was actually created when the studio came back to Clipper Mill. And I was invited actually by your daughter, Mark, to attend a party at this place. And she was calling me from the party. She said, you got to come down here. You got to. This place is amazing. I'm tired. She was like 12, 11 o'clock at night. She said, you just got to come down. And so so I did threw my shoes on and went down to the fire pit. And there was this amazing burning, blazing fire. And you know, there were like 200 people there. And it was a birthday party for a mutual friend of ours. And so I like to wander around and check things out. So I wandered into the studio and saw, you know, I'm an artist from my roots, and saw some of the most amazing furniture and objects that I had ever seen in my life. And I just wandered around in the showroom for a minute, just in awe, because I had never seen anything like that in Baltimore. And so I left the studio and went looking for somebody who I thought could produce such a thing. And there was John with his amazing stature, and he looked like he owned the place. So I went up to him and said,
"And he did,
right?" I said, "You know anything about this place in here?" He said, "Yeah, this is my spot." I said, "Did you make that stuff in it?" He said, "Well, we made it." And I grabbed his hand, literally, which was the size of a baseball glove compared to mine, and yanked him into the studio. And I said, "You know, tell me about this beautiful stuff." And that was the beginning of our work together. But it was about 4 years ago, and just that kind of light, both from his spirit and from the fires and the things that he pulls together, just drew people in from all over the city like moths to this flame, and I think we were all consumed in that energy.
Caprice, let me go to you.
Well, you know what, I have to say that John's mentoring presence when he was here and now that he's not is so profoundly inspiring for everyone who encounters him. And now that our listeners are kind of here with us, they're being introduced to him, and I'm sure before these few minutes are up that we have with you, you know, they too will kind of be drawn into this awesome energy. And he was such a community leader. The thing is that he was a visionary because, you know, he founded this his studios in the Clipper Mill community at a time when it was certainly derelict and not appealing at all. I mean, that fire and,
right.
You know, he was one of the first to occupy that whole area when it was being renovated or revitalized. And the fact that he has the vision to sort of, you know, emerge from the ruins like that and draw this energy, it's really a lot. It's New Baltimore. I say that every time I find myself anywhere near the studio or Roya or one of the parties or looking at a piece of the furniture or watching the guys do their thing. So I just want to say that it's great for Baltimore to have had such a shining star to shine so brightly that he continues to glow and will for the future of our city.
Not Charlie Cronheim.
Well, I'm a newcomer to Baltimore. Been here, lived here actually for 2 years, but we bought into Clipper Mill about 5 years ago, and we did so on the recommendation of a couple of people that said it was an interesting area and it was developing. We were very fortunate to meet John at the fire pit, like Paolo, and people have said, and I really believe, John is the kind of guy you meet him for an hour and you go away thinking you've known him since kindergarten. He just drew you in, and he was an inspiration to us. When he left us, my wife Ruth and I decided that this couldn't be the end of the story. And we knew about the dream he had of building a chimney so the fire pit could continue. The fire pit was an open fire originally, and that's not permitted within Baltimore city limits. And so John had dreamed of building a chimney system that would allow it to be used without having to have firemen in attendance. And but he never quite saw that dream to fruition. So a fellow in the studio finished the design and did a beautiful job. And we held a couple of fundraisings, the main one being a walk last October, which raised enough money to build the fire pit and thank the donors. The guys in the studio did a marvelous job building it. We dedicated on the 20th of February this year. And we had a major thank the donors party on the 19th of March. I think there were about 400 people there. And the fire pit will now be lit every Friday and Saturday night, except maybe the 2 hot months of August and July. But otherwise, we'll light the fire pit, and people are welcome to come and gather there. Also, Gutierrez Studios has a first Friday opening where the studio is open and the fire pit is lit. And that's a wonderful opportunity to come down and see some of the work that John and his people have done. And I think John's legacy, from my point of view, is the skills and the initiative he's imparted to all of his people. That's how it's carrying on. It's remarkable to see it.
So I want to talk about how what this work you're all doing now is here to carry on his legacy. I mean, what is it that we're carrying on, that you're carrying on? What are we doing here? Roya?
Well,
would you like to start? You pull it. Okay. Just a tad. I'm sorry. Good. There you go, baby.
Well, we started with the Gutierrez Memorial Fund to go back a little bit to the fireplace. It was really a community endeavor to get this memorial for him. And because of that, you know, the memorial itself is really a perfect symbol for him. It's not just a sculpture. It's an activity where it draws the community together. And what we saw from that outpouring, really, was that together the community it just there's so much power in the community, and that we can continue John's work and his legacy through the community and through supporting the arts and through education and apprenticeships. So a few years ago, he was working with Paolo and talking about just how much he wanted to give back through teaching and through skill building, because for him and through his experience, it's skill building that brings confidence, that drives confidence. So there was nothing more that he wanted to do once really establishing the company than to give back and to teach. So the apprenticeship program just started incubating at that point.
And his apprenticeship program, the apprenticeship program is something that he always had this idea, as I remember, that you, no matter who you are, where you come from, whether you're deep in the inner city or lived somewhere else with no chance to do what you wanted to do, if you had that dream, really wanted to put your hands to work and be a creator, that you could do it and he would teach you how to do it.
Exactly. There was one of he always had a lot of famous quotes, and one of the things that he would say was skills cure ills.
Right, right. But also he had this great thing. I was also in one of the videos that I loved watching when he was talking about. I remember the sentiments too when he was talking about the difference between the learning the passion for your work and studying entrepreneurism. It was like forget the entrepreneurism. That once you find your passion, that's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Your work will grow out of that. Mm-hmm. And don't think you're going to do it because you want to work less. You're going to work more.
Exactly.
You're not going to make more. You're going to make less. But you're going to be in your own world, and it's yours.
But it's the passion that drives you.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like work. And for John, exactly. It never felt like work. You know, just it was all part of his life. There wasn't some separation between here's work and here's life.
So when you think, what do you all want to come out of this? I mean, where do you want this to go in terms of what you think his legacy means, whether it's the benches or the fire pit, the apprenticeship program? What is it that you're building here in this good, I was going to say legend, not legend, but in what he leaves us and what we carry on in his name?
Legend sounds good. I think if we really look at the times we're in, we have, I think, sold out our ability to create in this country to all these other countries in the world because the almighty dollar has taken over priority for doing real things. And we've become a soft and a software society. And I think, you know, that's present all over in Baltimore, the closing of the plants. It's actually interesting to hear that the Bethlehem Steel plant is coming back up. They're cranking it up. And that would have totally delighted John. And I think it's really bringing back the work that is real work that he was all about, which is, you know, when you start out with some raw material, some steel, some wood, some bolts, some whatever, some glass, and you conceptualize in your mind something, or somebody conceptualizes something and asks you to create it. That process of imagining and then going through all of the steps, and John was all about all of the steps, to make that thing a real object, teaches you so much about life. It's not just about making that one object. It's about imagining and making real the things that you see. And I think, you know, his image was to bring back the small craft shops like his shop and populate the city of Baltimore with these, you know, a bakery that's a real bakery and a broom shop that really makes brooms out of straw. And he wanted to see it down and real like that so that the people of the city had something to hold in their hands. There was a movie called Witness a while ago that there was a line in there. There was this young kid, an Amish kid, that had found this this pistol and picked it up, and he was playing with it. And his grandfather sat him down, and he looked at him very sternly, and he said, what you take into your hands, you take into your heart. And I think John knew that from the other side, you know. And I think what the legacy is, you know, the work that we've been doing is to really get the pistols out of people's hands and put in some welding torches and put in some chop saws and put in some other tools that are actually going to build things for the community rather than destroy the community.
Number here is 410-319-8888. As we remember Life and Legacy of John Gutierrez and talk about what they're building in his name. And Caprice, you look like you were going to say something, were you?
Yeah,
I kept looking
at my hands because I think that what is incubating as well is a transferable, replicable model that can go into our communities where people do not have the opportunities to be creative, where they do not have the opportunity to be forward or progressive in their thinking because that seed was not planted in their life experience early on. And Paolo has, for example, the Bench That Gives project. That'll be the first in the series of apprenticeship programs inspired by Jean Gutierrez, and the Memorial Fund will support that. And I want to this model we were just talking about the other day, Paolo, and I wanted you to elaborate on the model, you know, and it being trans. That's why I kept looking at my hands, mm-hmm. how it's being transferable, because we can, for example, with the Old Town community, which is going to be the recipient of the first class of students for the apprenticeship program. And they'll have the opportunity not only to learn how to build these benches, but they will be empowered with a perspective. And it's more than just making something. It's a state of mind that they will have the opportunity to embrace and go and make their own. They can go and create what they want, just like John did. And that's what he wants for our community. More of that energy.
I looked at the phone. Someone was a guest calling in. People thought these were guests for the next hour. So, we'll get
so before we run out of time, yeah. Is there an opportunity, or is there a website, or is there information? If someone wants to support the Memorial Fund, they want to read more about John's life and his work and this incredible model, as Caprice was sharing with us. I mean, you could see this all over our city.
Right.
And what a wonderful legacy that would be for such an incredible human being. To see this replicated and see people begin to let their spirits and their creativity really change their community. But we've got to connect them with your website and other information.
Okay. The first website to take a look at is the Gutierrez Memorial Fund .com. And I'm sure we can make sure that's posted.
So it's always linked. Website. Always linked on steinershow.org.
And that site arrived with the walk, and it walks you through the whole fund and how the fund works. And that's the first action step. Is you know, this project we've John and I have been working on trying to get funded for almost 4 years now. And it's been extraordinarily difficult to get something that's so simple, which is teaching people in an amazing studio through a partnership how to make amazing things and then setting them up in business to do that so that we have sustainable businesses and communities where we don't see any businesses that are owned by the folk in the community. And that first project, you can see all about that at thebenchthatgives.com. And that describes the whole model.
Right.
Well, I think that what's really important here, too, is to understand John's, how he considered the role of the artist in the community.
Yes.
It was the heart to him of the community. And when we moved into Clipper Mill, many of us really argued with him about, you know, how can we afford to be here? We're in this, you know, this new community. And he really felt that, you know, artists are not supposed to be on the edge of town. They're supposed to be in the heart of the community. And artists incubate possibilities. And teaching people how to use their hands, how to learn with the things that we're doing, which is woodworking, metalworking, is going to be a confidence building, and you can just do amazing things. It's not just – you won't be limited in that this is all you have to do, is you're going to go and be a woodworker, or you're going to be these are skills that you need for everything, every day. And that's what he wanted to build. He wanted to build those kinds of skills and train those kinds of skills.
And you're still running the studios. They're still there.
Yes. Yes. We're still there. And and we're plugging along. Great team of people that are making it happen.
Well, I'd like to add something to the "we're still there" because, you know, everybody that takes the controls of anything puts their handprints on it. And I've been at the studio on a weekly basis for the last 4 years, and you know, before that I worked all over the country helping organizations and hundreds of organizations, and this is the best organization I have ever seen, bar none. Big ones, little ones, and the reason for that is because of the love of the work that people have when they are there, and Roya has really turned the direction in a new direction that I think really bears her stamp, which is they're producing a lot more furniture, which is really beautiful, and it's accessible to all of us. So you should definitely get down on one of these first Fridays and take a look, because this stuff is stunning. And the way Roy has taken over leadership for this amazing, amazing studio is inspirational to me.
And the activities that are planned and coming up, we want you to join us and just kind of, you know, join us for this wonderful ride, this evolution of, you know, as the legacy comes together. You have a pencil or pen. I'm going to go there and I'm going to spell Gutierrez, because it's not the most simple word. G-U-T-I-E-R-R-E-Z, memorialfund.com, or benchthatgives, all one word, .com.
And it'll all be on the website as well.
The when we started the first walk, we had a very simple objective, and that was to fund the fire pit and building of the chimney. Neither my wife nor I had any fundraising experience at all. We jumped in with both feet because we were impressed with the community and with the studio and with John, and the idea just seemed perfect. The thing that was most astounding was, as we went around town, mostly my wife, asking to hang up posters, people kind of said, well, maybe, and then they saw it was for John, and it went right in the front window immediately. And the walk was such an effortless success that we started thinking afterward, it shouldn't be a one-time event. It should be an annual event. And we should keep this legacy going through this walk. And we would fund apprenticeships. And the project Paola has going with John was an ideal first candidate. So we've decided to continue the walk, same format, meet at the studios in Clipper Mill in the morning, take a five-mile walk through the park, or shorter if you wish, and then enjoy some good food, music, and drink around the fire. It'll be in October every year. This year it'll be the 8th of October. And you can sign up via the website, and you can make a contribution and come down and enjoy the company. It's a very eclectic crowd. You can also pick up a very nice T-shirt. And we hope to see you all there in October.
All right. I deeply appreciate this. And we'll, as we get closer to October and the other events, we'll talk about it and maybe kind of announce some of the Friday nights here on the air. So folks will show up at the Gutierrez Studios.
Excellent. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I want to thank Roya Golpira. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it.
I know it means a lot to you. I know it's hard, but I know it means a lot to you. So I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Paolo Gregory Harris, my friend, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Joy Conhan, good to meet you. Caprice Jackson Garrett, as I haven't seen you in ages, it's good to see you too.
Likewise.
Good to have you here.
Peace and blessings.
Anthony McCarthy and I will be right back. We're going to take a trip over to the controversy on Park Heights after this, for the next half an hour or so or more. And remind you on our way there that the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555, and their banner information is also on the steinershow.org website. Don't lose your house. Make a call. We'll be right back.